Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Tyler back at the helm. Welcome to the cookout. We got a lot of stuff set for this doggone grill. I mean, this grill is all loaded. Got the charcoal here, the lighter fluid. All I need is the match. I'm about to strike this bad boy up and get this party rolling. A lot of stuff that went on yesterday in the kitchen spills over into today's show, but hopefully you, the caller out there, get involved in this show and make this all possible. Welcome to Sports City's Grill, a.k.a. The Cookout. Outta took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen, timeless is alive.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. When the sun goes down, I'll make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me. But I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The call-in number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. And like I said, we had an epic show at the wrap-up last night, followed up by the Army Champions, and I'm just so privileged to have Alan and Carolyn do their thing with us in Sports City, man. I actually have TV celebrities here in Sports City, and actually had one of the celebrities doing their thing and getting interviewed yesterday. If you didn't check it out. Go on iTunes or go right here at blogtalkradio.com/Sports City Chefs and get your dish. We got a lot of food for thought. Regardless of what your appetite is, we can feed you. That's for sure. Now, let me jump into the show as best as I possibly can. I got a lot of stuff on my plate that I want to dish out. I definitely want to get my brother in here, calling in by way of the state of South Carolina. You guys know him as Nostradamus, a.k.a. Chandler. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
What's going on, man? I'm just tired.
I hear you, man. It's been a long day, man. I went through a lot of stuff today. I hope I don't sound like it. I'm going to try my best to get through it, but I've been going through a lot as well. But I got to keep on pressing, keep on pushing, man. Sports City, get in here as best as you possibly can. If you're in the chat room, you can post questions in there as well. Telephone. You already know the slogan. Now, I know it's been getting overdrawn on the situation. Now, I'm actually kind of exhausted on it as well. And it's about the fight from Saturday night with Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao. However, this is a very interesting situation. Now, after the fight, Pacquiao and Freddie Roach go into a situation of saying Pacquiao's shoulder was injured before the fight and stating that he had a torn rotator cuff. So it wasn't acknowledged. He had to sign a form before he got into the ring and fighting, noting to any injury, i.e. a shoulder tear of such, and he marked no. Now, there's several situations that are coming out of this, and I just got wind of one of them. I want to say the best for last. The one situation that I just got wind of was he can potentially face prison time. This is the interesting thing. I'm like, really? But he falsified the situation, so I understand where that's coming from. They're saying that he could potentially face prison time. I doubt if it gets that serious, but if it does, it's crazy in itself. And the one that I heard a day or two ago where there's two fans from the Las Vegas area that are looking to sue Manny Pacquiao for $5 million because of him not stating that he was injured before the fight. Now, this is the way that I'm looking at it. The two guys that are coming after him, clearly, and I don't like to talk like this for a city, but I kind of have to. I think they put a bet on Manny and basically took Manny to win the fight. And with Manny not being able to perform, these guys came up with the short end of the stick. And hearing everything that's coming out on this situation, it raises antennas and actually draws a signal of what's next to come from the side of Manny Pacquiao, let alone turning the lights away from Floyd Mayweather, where everybody's talking about this, that, or the third for Manny Pacquiao. For Floyd Mayweather. Now Manny Pacquiao has the questions to deal with outside of this fight. Chandler, your thoughts on both perspectives. I don't know if the first one goes as far as it could possibly go, but they said that he could potentially face prison time. And two, he's potentially going to face a lawsuit if this actually sticks. Your thoughts on Manny Pacquiao's situation?
Anybody that's suing him, and if it ain't one of the networks, go away. Just go away. Athletes all the time don't say until after they've performed what was physically wrong with them. It happens all the time. This ain't the first fighter that after fight we found out he had this, that, and the third wrong with him. It ain't the first one. It ain't the first one for the championship fight that had stuff wrong. All of this is nonsense. It's really all it is nonsense. I don't care about his shoulder, okay? I don't care. I really don't. And also, how was it fraud? I'd love to know. Exactly how was it fraud? When I guarantee you there were some things wrong with Mayweather, and that they only would have come out had he lost. It's like the only reason they mentioned his shoulder was because he lost. That's the only reason they mentioned his shoulder, because he lost. Had he won, do you really think they would have mentioned the shoulder? Do you really think anybody would have been like, oh, I can't believe he fought with a bad shoulder? This is all, really, honestly, I think it's all designed to get people to want to pay for another rematch, to pay for a rematch. That's really what I think this all comes from, is they're trying to figure out a way to drum up some interest in a rematch.
And beautiful that you said that. It's like hand in hand with me and my brother. That was the next portion of the situation. Floyd Mayweather says after he heals from his surgery, he is willing to give Manny Pacquiao a rematch, which the timetable after the surgery is 9 to 12 months. So it's looking like it could potentially go down in either May or February, which is the month that he was born in. So that'll be around his 39th birthday if it has the potential of going down. And interesting that you throw that out there, Chandler. Your thoughts on a potential rematch, do you think this is a situation where they can still sell tickets, or do you think nobody's going to have the same type of hype toward this fight as they did in Mayweather-Pacquiao Part 1?
It won't do the same amount of money, but it'll do significant money because now there's an excuse for why Pacquiao lost. Remember, you got a whole country that's going to go bet on Pacquiao. You have a whole country, okay, not a state, not a county, a country that will vote, that will bet on Pacquiao, that will pay to watch this fight. So that right there is some tens of millions of dollars right there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the nonsense with these networks prostituting themselves yet again to pay for this fight. So, yeah, people and now – everybody who doesn't like Floyd Mayweather, right, and I mean who doesn't like him and needs an excuse for why he won, now they have one to hold on to. So if you need an excuse for why he won and you just don't want to say he won, you say, oh, see, that's why he won, because Manny was hurt, okay? If you're a Mayweather person and you need a reason to drum up interest in the fight, hey, Manny was hurt. We need to fight him again. So, I think people are paid to watch it. Will they do the money they did this time? No. But if they do half that for two guys in their late 30s, close to 40, that's still pretty good money.
And the numbers haven't fully panned out yet, but they're saying it's over 400 right now. So, if they could, I guess when the final number comes out, I can't wait to see how this does end up going down. But still yet, with I think Floyd had to basically test out how Manny's fighting style is, and I guess give people their true essence of what they wanted to see, because a lot of people were saying that they were, you know, bored on seeing, you know, Floyd basically be the only one that was getting points off, actually, you know, throwing blows to Manny, and Manny couldn't do anything to him. I guess now that he's seen everything that Manny could do, I don't know if this builds confidence or a more or less of a situation that he doesn't want to go into his career having to deal with this question at the end all at the end of the day. So it's interesting that Floyd actually backpedaled the situation and trying to get this rematch to go down in a year's time. So he still has this fight coming up in September, so he's going beyond 49 if he gets it done in September. He's looking to go beyond 49. So, people, it's not over for Floyd Mayweather that fast. Don't look to September to be his last fight. That's if Manny says yes to the situation. Now, Chandler, there was a topic that you touched on as we walked out of the doors of the wrap-up last night, and it was talking about teams, i.e., the Washington Wizards, and how they've been successful this far in the playoffs. But outside of the Wizards, I want to say it like this. No team really has had the comfort of home court advantage. And I wanted to talk about that, but we'll go to the first situation of it with the Wizards taking care of business up against Atlanta. And they play tonight in game two down there in Atlanta. Your thoughts on that as well. But all in all, your thoughts on home court advantage really being a no.
Well, John Wall's not playing tonight, so I don't expect the Wizards to win. But I think the Wizards quietly have done the best job in the playoffs. I mean, they came into the playoffs, man, playing like garbage, playing like hot garbage. And they swept the Raptors, which most people thought that was going to go 6 or 7 games. Whether you thought the Toronto was going to win, whether you thought the Wizards were going to win, which I didn't think the Wizards would win because I didn't think they were actually going to show up. And they swept them. They beat Atlanta, and it wasn't close, by the way, the other night. It's not like that was a close game. You know, the scoreboard, regardless of the scoreboard, that wasn't a close game. Okay, they were controlling that game from start to finish. And they play well on the road in the playoffs for some strange reason. If the Wizards are on the road, they'll win. So people are giving them short shrift. You know, before the season started, that was one of the teams I said them along with Atlanta and Chicago that I thought would come out of the East. And they totally underachieved during the season, but they are doing work right now. So John Wall's not playing, and that's the only reason I'll say I don't think they'll win tonight. If John Wall played the way the Wizards are playing right now, I could see them sweeping the Atlanta Hawks. Believe it or not, I could see them sweeping the Hawks the way they're playing right now. And the only reason I'll say they won't is because John Wall's not playing tonight.
And Bradley Beal also tweaked his ankle in the last game. He had 28 points in the midst of the third quarter. He tweaked his ankle, still came back, but really didn't have that same effort. This is something that I was worried about with the Atlanta Hawks, knowing that they were off to a great start all throughout the season. Their defense was still in question. And knowing how the Wizards have been able to take care of business up against these guys in game one, they put all of the pressure back on Atlanta to win game two, because if not, they go back to Washington up 2-0, just like they did the last series up against Toronto. But I think Atlanta comes out all guns a-blazing, and this might be a Kyle Korver night. I think Korver can go off and try and get the people of Atlanta to rise up, since the Falcons can't get people to rise up. I think this would be a situation where the Hawks have to take care of business, because if they don't, I agree with Chandler, this can be a potential sweep. This can be a potential sweep, especially if John Wall is listed out tonight too. That would have been huge if he was there, but it's actually huge for Atlanta to actually try to take advantage of the situation while their floor general is off the floor. Okay, now there's another game that just went down. And it's crazy, Sports City, because he didn't want to come around to cookout today. He called it to the wrap-up pretty late last night, and we only had like 7 minutes left. I didn't want to just feed him and then have him kind of take over the show. I was trying to get him to save for the cookout, but he doesn't want to show face. It's okay. I understand. I'm bitter too when my team lose. I'm the sorest loser ever. I can't lose in marbles. I don't want to lose in quarters. I don't want to lose in nothing, man. I'm a terrible loser as well, so I understand. I understand. But the Rockets lose home court advantage already in game one without now. Before the playoffs started, I was saying this could be the Clippers' year. They won that game without Chris Paul. Chris Paul coming back to be another added gun to this situation. Doc Rivers, I tip my hat to you right now because you guys got it done on the road. I think your team is slowly starting to believe in what you got around there. Chandler, your thoughts on this situation with the Clippers going into the Toyota Center and taking care of business up against the Rockets?
I'm shocked. I was shocked. But I think that series against the Spurs, they – found themselves. They turned into that team that we always said they should be but never were. That's huge that they won without Chris Paul. Because if you think about it, everything in this series sets up the Rockets' way. Everything in this series sets up the Rockets' way. The Clippers have no bench. Chris Paul is hurt. You can run 8, 9, 10 guys. You can run three guys at Blake Griffin and get him in foul trouble. DeAndre Jordan can't make foul shots. Blake Griffin can't make foul shots. Hell, Chris Paul can't make foul shots.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Crawford misses foul shots, believe it or not, in crunch time. This series set up, and then they came off a seven-game slugfest with San Antonio. Everything was set up for Houston to go out there and wax them in game one. The fact that they didn't, you know what? Houston, you have a problem. this might be five games, man. This might be a five game sweep.
Really? So you think this the Rockets only had a potential? They only have potential to steal one, which will probably be tonight, correct?
Yeah. Because the Clippers now they know they're good. Now they believe they're good. See, thinking you're good is one thing. Believing you're good. It's the next step. When you know you're good, when you know nobody can beat you, no matter who they bring out there, no matter who's not playing, that's when a team is truly dangerous and truly playing to all of their ability. The Clippers right now, they know they can win. And they don't care if they put Austin Rivers out there. They don't care if they put Doc Rivers out there right now, okay? The Clippers know they can win. Man, listen, all the talent in the world doesn't matter if the team doesn't truly believe in it. This team believes in it now, man, and that's a scary thought.
And this is one thing that actually bothers me in that situation. I'm glad that you said that name. I'm glad that you said it. People really poo-poo at Austin Rivers like he's not supposed to be successful in this situation. It's like, wait a minute. This guy was an All-American basketball player at Duke, got to the league. He got drafted now and was passed around a little bit. I mean, he went from New Orleans and the Celtics, so on and so forth. This kid has a bunch of talent. It's not like, he just Doc's son and they're trying to get him in there. You need to watch out for Austin Rivers and know what he was able to contribute to the team in the Spurs series. It's interesting to see how Houston is going to be able to deal with this, but the one thing that I do question with the Houston Rockets is where they get their defense from outside of Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is the guy in the paint that's going to contest shots and make people take, you know, awkward shots at the rim. But other than that, you need a guy like James Harden to step up. I mean, Crawford hit a big shot on him last night. Josh Smith, I mean, a lot of these guys are going to have to stay out of foul trouble. Harden was in foul trouble. Harden had five fouls with a couple of minutes left in the fourth, and they're just picturing how they'd have to be successful while he's in foul trouble as well. I give the Clippers a ton of credit to go into that arena and steal in game one and put all of the pressure on the Rockets to win game two.
Think about that James Harden on his home court got in foul trouble. Think about that. No Chris Paul, right? No Chris Paul. They know you're going to Blake. You know you're going to Blake. Everybody knows you're going to Blake. And James Harden now really should have an easier time without Chris Paul, and he winds up in foul trouble? That's ugly.
I don't get it. And the one thing that me and my friends were talking about before the game started we were actually saying, watch Barnes try to get under Harden's skin to try and get him to take a swing at him, get a technical, or get kicked out of the game, because the Clippers could afford to lose Matt Barnes. Even though he's an interesting piece, the Rockets cannot afford to lose James Harden, whether foul trouble or getting caught up in technical foul situations, so on and so forth. James Harden is the critical piece to what the Houston Rockets have going on right now. And especially without Chris Paul on the floor, it's only going to get better. It depends on how he is. And this is what I was saying to the people I was with. I said, if Chris Paul's hamstring is, I want to say, 80% or better, this is a problematic situation for the Rockets. If he's 79% or lower, he's going to be going through the motions and trying to get that ball moved and take shots as they're given to him. But if he's better than 80%, this could be a problem for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have a call in queue. Killer, sit tight. I want to get to him, and then we'll get back to you as well. Calling in from the state of Arizona. You guys know him as Nacho, my co-chef on the Food Fight. Mr. Silva, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I'm feeling good, Chandler. Ty, I heard you talk about the Wizards game, and I heard you talk about the Rockets there a little bit. I was just going to ask, you know, I'm not the basketball aficionado. I do like to throw my opinion around a lot, but I'd like to ask you two, in particular, the effect not having John Wall for the Wizards tonight will have on the Wizards playing against against the Hawks.
Chandler, I'll let you go first, and I'll reply after you.
Well, for me, and you don't have to be an aficionado, Nacho, but I like how you threw that out there. It's funny. That's an inside joke, people, for the, those of you that don't. That's an inside joke amongst us right there. I think this is the only game the Hawks might win, man. I'm being real honest right now. This is the only game the Hawks might win. The Wizards are playing like the team I thought they could be before the season started, like the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. That's how they're playing right now. They are playing defense. They're rebounding. They ran the Atlanta Hawks off shots and made them shoot less than 25%? They missed like 20 out of 25 shots. They made like three in the last 4 minutes. They just had them jacking up shots to jack up shots. I think this is the only game the Hawks might win, man. And I'm not saying that, you know, trying to be crazy. I think this is the only game the Hawks might win.
I'm going to say it like this. I'm not a big Sessions fan, even though Sessions has been passed around the league, going from the Lakers as well as the Milwaukee Bucks, also with the Wildcats at that given time, who are now the Hornets. But he knows experience throughout the NBA, so this is going to be critical if he can actually step up in place of John Wall and be able to just manage the situation and let everybody outside him do work. Because, you know, Beal, give or take, if his ankle responds well to him, gave these guys a fit. It's really a tough cover for the Hawks. And Paul Pierce, and you know, I'm kind of biased in saying this, Otto Porter Jr., Otto has actually been playing well for the Wizards as well. So there's guys that can actually step up and play well. And let me be honest, I'm going to just say this, and I can care less if people feel some type of way. I think the Wizards front court has an edge, a bigger edge, on the Atlanta Hawks front court. I think Nene and Gortat definitely are doing work on the boards, know when they can score, and play physical breed of defense and get the refs to work with them, especially being on the road and kind of keeping their hands to themselves. This is actually huge for the Wizards. So all this is, in the words of Tupac, all eyes on Ramon Sessions. If Ramon Sessions could actually just manage the game, just you don't have to come in here and give them 17 points. If you give them 17, this is a problem for Atlanta. If he can give them 17, you know, being a backup for Wall, that'll be huge. But just to get the ball in motion in that offense and the notable guys score as they need to, he can come up with some shots and hopefully knock them down. This could put the Atlanta Hawks on their heels. But I definitely don't know. I don't count the Wizards out, but I think Atlanta can come off with this win. I do agree with Chandler, at least game two. But if the Wizards are to win this series, which it looks like it could potentially happen, I'm going to get Chandler a tattoo named Nostradamus, because he said they were going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and the way that they look up against the Hawks, this could be a problem for Atlanta. This can be a problem. Just saying. But Sessions, you got your hands full today. You got your hands full. Jeff Teague could be a problem, but Jeff Teague is kind of passive too. So this actually could be a blessing in disguise too, especially while they're on the road.
Hey, real quick, I had one more like dish to throw at you. I know it's kind of early to think about it, but you're saying this might be the only game that the Hawks win. If that's the case, it only goes five. We're looking at a series with the Bulls and the Cavs that may go seven. So you got the Wizards. When they sit back, and if they sit back with time to rest, preparing for whoever they got to prepare for, is this going to benefit them, and is it going to be a problem to either the Cavaliers or the Bulls if the Wizards are in the Eastern Conference Finals? And I know I'm probably dishing that out a little early.
Get your hands out of the pot. If your mom was in the kitchen, I know she would have a wooden spoon to either tear that hand up or your forehead up. I don't know. But my family, it was your forehead. They ain't care about no dog on hand. I guess it ain't hurt enough. They hit you in your head. So you know not to come in there no more. Forget your hand. But I guess I get to jump right into that one. Unless, Chandler, you have something else to say toward this matchup tonight with the Hawks and the Wizards, or jump right into it, looking at a rest factor with the other team in the Eastern Conference bracket.
Well, you got a huge break between games two and three. I think they got, a 2 or 3 day break between games two and three. And if they finish this out, say, in five games, that's huge for them, because Beal gets the rest up, Wall gets the rest up, and you know Cleveland-Chicago is going at least six games. And that's going to be a six-game war. So cats are going to be beat up and banged up regardless of who comes out of that. Right now, the way things are setting up for the Wizards, you know what? These dominoes are falling all in their direction right now. They're falling all in their direction. That would make it a lot more difficult for whoever's going to play them. A lot more difficult.
Okay, now, in looking at the situation, because this actually goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about, nobody really has a home court edge other than the Golden State Warriors. They're the only team that basically took care of business here in the second round of the playoffs. You got a situation where Chicago not only just goes in there and plays up against the Cleveland Cavaliers, they win the game and actually, you know, more or less had control of the game all throughout the game. Even though Cleveland got it tight and they made it pretty much interesting, the Bulls led the entire game from tip-off till the buzzer ended in the fourth quarter. Talk about inspirational, I guess. I think it's more or less a situation. I think Derrick Rose's appearance or being with this team has this team inspired more than ever. You guys' thoughts, and now we can throw the situation of what Nacho threw in there about the ref situation also, but with the Bulls getting it done, and I got to tip my hat to Slim Jim, because Slim Jim said he thinks the Bulls can knock off the Cavs. He said this way before the postseason got here. It's presenting itself, and this is looking good. You know what, Chandler, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on how this is going down, even though your favorite player, J.R. Smith, was missing in game one.
Yeah, well, I think the Bulls can beat them. And the whole home court thing, I think it's really going to show when Chicago goes home. This is how you have to play the Cavaliers. You have to make them chase. Because when you make them chase, they start playing solo ball. Kyrie Irving decides he's going to go one-on-one every time down. LeBron James decides that he's going to start. He's looking for where's everybody at? Where's everybody at? Where's everybody at? Where's everybody at? Because once again, as we talked about yesterday, he's not really built to take a game by the throat. He doesn't do that. And when you got Kyrie playing hero ball, not wanting to pass, so now the whole offense is out of whack. You know, and again, I'm no Kevin Love fan, but that third guy to kind of, you know, maybe get some rebounds or maybe slow down or maybe pound it down into the post, they don't have anybody like that. And please don't say this kid Thompson. Come on. He's nobody in the paint. So they don't have anybody to go to in the paint to sort of, okay, we need to settle down, stop jacking up jump shots. Let's run a set offense. Let's run a half-court set. Put it on somebody on the block. Let them get fouled and go to the free throw line. They don't have that. So Chicago, if Chicago gets the lead and plays with the lead, I can't see Cleveland beating them.
Interesting. Really? Now, here's how I see it, too. J.R. Smith comes back. He gives them a little added, I can't say a little because he has offensive prowess at the end of the day. But he gets caught up within the game. He gets caught up in the game within the game. Let me say that the right way. And anybody that can get under his skin, i.e., a guy like Jimmy Butler, because Butler's actually off to a tenacious start from round one into this round two situation. I hope he doesn't end up punching somebody in the face, because this is going to get somebody to retaliate. Hopefully the Bulls know what they're up against in a guy like J.R. Smith. But right now, the way that the Cavs are looking, it is LeBron and Kyrie right now. They really look like they're banking off these two guys to get it done. It looks like that third wheel where Kevin Love was supposed to be around, he's going to be the added gun and probably giving them 18 or better with rebounds. But the way that they looked and wasn't able to take advantage of the home court crowd, so on and so forth, you got a defensive, well, quote-unquote, because I actually agree with Chandler on the situation, quote-unquote defensive specialist in Shumpert, and Shumpert not really giving too much to this team defensively. At one point, the Bulls were up by 15 points at one point in the game in Cleveland, y'all, in Cleveland. So this is something to think about for this Cleveland Cavalier team, and let alone if the Bulls can take advantage and take this series at least two games while they're in the state of Ohio. Because if they can go back to Chicago and beat up two wins, I think they could at least get one game at home. I think the Cavs will fight them tooth and nail to steal one of those games. Because if the Cavs get swept with LeBron coming back home, I could care less how many people say, oh, Kevin Love wasn't there. It's not Kevin Love's fault. This is not Kevin Love's fault, because he wasn't sitting in as much as he could all season long, people pointing fingers at him on why things weren't working. Nacho, is there anything that you'd like to address towards this? And we do have a call in queue.
As it pertains to this series, I feel Cleveland's only chance is to win game two. I don't think they win in Chicago. Then I got to piggyback on Chandler. Once they head to Chicago, we'll see that home court again. The only disadvantage or the only advantage that your question had is the fact that Chicago hadn't played at home yet. I think if they would have started yesterday off, they still would have won at home, and we would have seen maybe an even bigger win from Chicago. So I do think that Chicago's home court is something that we'll have to look forward to when they play games three and four. But I really do think Cleveland's only hope is to win game two. That can definitely make it go to a five-game series, and they have one more at home. If they win that, then they're down 3-2, in my opinion, going back to Chicago. So they have to fight tooth and nail to win in Chicago, but I don't think they can, those three and four. So if they don't win game two, we might be looking at Chicago waiting for the Wizards or the Atlanta, because that's exactly what Chicago's looking like. You mentioned the 15-point lead. Well, not only that, they got, I believe, there was one point in the game, Cleveland got in within 2 points, and then there goes Chicago on a 10-point run. Just like that, they were up 10, 12 points again. And they did it with threes. They did it with Derrick Rose and Dunleavy shooting threes, and they did it with Jimmy Butler attacking the rim during that particular stint. So, and they did it other ways throughout the game, too. So I really feel if Cleveland doesn't pull out game two, we might be pulling out brooms in Chicago, because the way Chicago's playing, the way Derrick Rose is playing, that home crowd, it might rival Golden State, just how excited they'd be and how much hatred they have towards LeBron and any team he plays on.
Oh boy. I don't want to start singing the tunes of it. I'm trying my best. LeBron, I respect you. I don't like you because we went at each other in 2012, but I respect you. I don't want to call you out like that, but if you get swept in the second round with a good team around you, you will be having to answer questions. That's all I'm going to say. But I know the Cavs will be coming out guns a-blazing for sure up against the Chicago Bulls. Well, calling in by way of the state of Georgia, you guys know him in the kitchen, notably here at the beginning of the week. We got Pat in the building. Pat, welcome to the cookout. How are we feeling this evening?
What's going on, gents?
Not too much. How you feeling?
Oh, another wonderful day.
Okay, so from what you heard thus far in the kitchen, your thoughts on the topic that we brought up on home court advantage or the games that we're talking about right now with Cleveland losing their first game at home up against the Chicago Bulls?
Man, once again, LeBron's kryptonite is crunch time. Once again, he has not shaken it since he's been in the NBA. He was able to postpone it while in Miami, and now it's rearing its ugly head again. I mean, we talked about it last night, so that's just how I see it. It's the same old thing.
So do you agree with Nacho? Do you think that if the Bulls actually take this game, there's potential for a sweep? Or do you think Cleveland won't let this happen?
I don't see a sweep. But, you know, it's like with LeBron, I don't get it, really. After all these years in the NBA. And we talked about this last night, and when the game is on the line, he shies away. I mean, I don't know what it is about those moments. I don't know what it is going on with him mentally. He's not that type of player. When the game was on the line, Magic had the ball. When the game was on the line, Isaiah had the ball. When the game was on the line, Jordan had the ball. When the game was on the line, Bird had the ball. Even if LeBron has the ball, like he did last night, drive into the paint, jump up in the air. Now how are you looking for somebody to throw to at that point? At what, 8, 10 feet from the basket? And you, in midair, you're pirouetting, trying to find a target, and you turn the ball over. Typical LeBron. When the game is on, either or he misses wide open shots, or he free throws, is one of the three. And that particular aspect of his game, after 10 years in the league, he has yet to correct to this day. I mean, like I said last night, he's a stat stuffer. But one of the deceptive things about stat sheet stuffers is that, especially in basketball, if it doesn't impact the game, it's pretty much all for naught. I mean, he had 19 points, 15 assists or something like that, 15 rebounds or something. So, I mean, he had a double-double. But when they needed him most to do that Superman stuff he does, he couldn't get his cape on. And that part of his game has not changed in all these years. I don't see it changing. Will they get swept? I doubt it. Are they going to have a real uphill struggle with Chicago? Yeah. They are going to have their hands full.
Okay. Interesting enough about this matchup, man. I mean, I really am happy to see Derrick Rose back out there, because the last time he played playoff ball was 2012, where he tore his knee up, and this is a did-you-know situation. A lot of people, including myself, I thought the last 8 seed to knock off a 1 seed was the Golden State Warriors when they knocked off the Dallas Mavericks. No. The last 8 seed to knock off a 1 seed was the Philadelphia 76ers when they beat the Chicago Bulls after Derrick Rose tore his knee up. So this is redemption road, at least for Derrick Rose. And knowing the interesting matchup between Rose and Kyrie, everybody's watching that. Is it fair, and Achille, I want to ask you before I go around the kitchen, we've been hearing this across the kitchen, is it fair for them to point or look at LeBron to be the blame all in this situation, because he's actually trying to shoulder the load and saying the reason why they lost game one was because of him. Is this a situation where LeBron had to turn it up like he was down in South Beach, or do the other, supporting role players have to come in here and do something?
He has to do what Dwayne Wade did, which is take the game by the throat. Now, when Dwayne Wade won his first championship, everybody said, well, he had Shaq. That might be true. He had a very diminished Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
Who was the MVP of those finals? I believe it was
Dwayne Wade. Right.
And why was it Dwayne Wade? Because when crunch time came, he didn't look to give the ball to Shaq. He could have, and nobody would have blamed him. You had a Hall of Fame center on your team. Why wouldn't you give him the ball? He said, no, I got this. Get out of my way. I'm going to make something happen. Be ready. I may give it to you. I probably won't. But I'm going to make something happen. I'm going to make a steal on defense. I'm going to make a block. I'm going to take a charge. I'm going to hit a shot. I'm going to get fouled and make the free throws. Whatever was happening, Dwayne Wade was dead in the center of it. Maybe it wasn't always a shot, but it was something where it was him as the reason that they were successful in that possession, be it defensive or offensive possession. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving is not built for that yet. We don't know if he ever will be, but he certainly isn't built for it yet. He's not ready for that yet. He is not ready to be that guy yet. And you can look at his game and see that. Yes, this is on LeBron. If you want to be third in MVP voting, if you want to talk about you're insulting because no one's talking about you for MVP before the All-Star break, if you're going to open your mouth and talk about what you left Miami because you thought Cleveland had a better chance to win, when you're going to say in the offseason, well, I would have stayed if we had won, then this is what you have to do. If you're going to get that kid Andrew Wiggins traded, okay, for, good Lord, basically for nothing, because you didn't want to have to work too hard, then yes, this is all on LeBron James. I don't want to hear about Kyrie Irving. I don't hear about Kevin Love. I don't want to hear about Tristan Thompson. I don't hear J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert, Timothy Mozgov, David Blatt, none of them. I don't want to hear about any of them. Okay, when Barkley, and you know I can't stand Charles Barkley, but when Barkley was on the Sixers and they were being successful, they were successful because that short, fat, pudgy little 5'4" dude would go in there and rebound amongst 7-footers and get the rebounds. He'd drive down the lane at 500 pounds and dunk on somebody. He would beat everybody up and down the court when he looked like he should be out there playing beer league softball. Okay? If guys like him could do it, and Barkley would want a doggone thing, but you got to be that type of guy. You have to be the best player on the court. And LeBron James, not for nothing, wasn't even the third best player on the court last night.
Okay, how about you, Pat? I throw it to you. Do you think this is more or less of a situation where LeBron is the end all, or do you think the supporting cast has to step up and help him in the situation? Because let's be honest, while he was down there in Miami, of course, he was the MVP, so on and so forth, and basically brought the heightened situation down there in South Beach. But you had guys like Mike Miller knocking down shots. You had Ray Allen knocking down shots. You're going to need some of these role players on this Cleveland bench now. Now, I don't think they have the same core players. They do have Mike Miller from Miami there. They do also have James Jones there. But do you think this is the end all where they have to look to LeBron if things don't get accomplished? Did we lose Pat? Nacho, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, your thoughts on the situation, and I'll get moving.
Yeah, you just got to reiterate, Chandler, it is all on LeBron to me as well. He's got to step up and be that great elite player that he says he is, that everyone claims him to be. He is a two-time champ. He is a finals MVP, a multiple season MVP. He's got to step up and win a couple games on his own if he has to and bring that home court back to Cleveland. It has to be him and no one else. Kyrie can step up and score 40 points and do all he can, but it needs to be LeBron at the end of the day for me. I am with Chandler and everyone else. If they don't win more than one or two games in this series, it falls all on LeBron's shoulders. All the moves he's done as player GM, you have to put it all on his shoulders.
Hey, Ty.
Okay. Yes, sir.
You know how everybody likes to talk about the Willis Reed deal? Okay, and everybody says, oh, the Knicks won that game because of Willis Reed, because Willis Reed came out on the court on one leg and he hit one basket against Wilt Chamberlain, right?
Right.
Who scored 42 points in that game? Anybody know? Clyde Frazier scored 42 points in that game. Willis
really?
Reed had 2 points. Clyde had 42 points. Does anybody even know that? Does anybody even talk about that? No, they talk about Willis coming out there and making that one shot.
Right.
That's what a big-time player does. Yeah, the reason the Knicks won was because of Clyde Frazier. Let's be clear. But it will go down in the annals of history as Willis Reed beat the Lakers because he came out on the court and his mere presence caused the win. Okay? That's what LeBron James has to become. His mere presence should be enough to get his team a win.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I want to keep moving right along. Well, Nacho, I did want to ask you a question about something that we did touch on. I don't know if you have knowledge of it, about your boy Manny Pacquiao and the situations that he's in front of. Your thoughts on it before I get moving to the other topics on the day, because I got some critical stuff coming up next.
You know, I am kind of tired of it, but I will touch on it real quick. I think it was a poor play by Manny Pacquiao. The injury that you sustained, regardless of it, you should have disclosed it and let everyone know. I don't think the extent of the injury was as bad, but I think he should have checked yes and let the people know, or let the governing body know, whoever it was, that there was a problem, because I don't believe he tore the rotator cuff weeks ago. I believe he tore it in the match. Like Stephen A. says, trying to swing at stuff he couldn't hit. When you're putting all your punching power into punches, you know, I don't think he like I said, I don't think he did it a couple weeks ago. I think he hurt it, and I think he really tore it and messed it up during the match. So I think it was all on Manny. He needs to step up, take responsibility, and let everyone know that he wanted that $100+ million more than anything else, and that's what it came down to. He saw that money disappearing if he would have checked that yes book. So he needs to come out and let everyone know the truth and just stop, you know, pity-patting around. He was injured. He hurt him more in the match, and now he's super hurt, and he needs surgery. So it's Manny Pacquiao's fault, and he should suck it up and take responsibility.
Well, one, he's facing a $5 million lawsuit, and two, potential prison time for perjury. Now I'm hoping that it doesn't go that far that he sees jail time, but it would be interesting if everything turns to...
Sorry not to cut you off, but, yeah, I heard about that stuff, and I highly doubt that there's going to be any jail time or anything like that. The boxing coalition, or whatever you want to call it, the boxing governing body, they want money. I think they will squeeze as much money out of Manny Pacquiao as they can, and, you know, he'll end up not making as much money as we would think on this fight because of it, and that's going to hurt him even more. He saw the dollar signs, thought it would get him the money, and now he's just going to probably lose a lot of it. It's going to be sad to see him take the fall he's going to take soon, but it's all on him. You got to learn not to lie, and if you're a man of God, you wouldn't lie like that.
True. Whoa, good point right there. I like that. The next thing I wanted to talk about, staying within that basketball realm of things, is how the floor generals, i.e. the point guards, are injured. You got John Wall that's out right now. You got Chris Paul that's out right now. And you got a situation where Mike Conley Jr., where Chandler's been preaching about this guy, and it's true, the Grizzlies look lost without him. He's out and may be potentially ruled out for the Game 2 game up against the Warriors as well. Talk about timing for losing your floor general. And I know this all too well, because I had to see Russ off the floor for the past couple of seasons. But to be honest, looking at the situation, at least the Clippers were successful. Let me get it right. The Clippers and the Wizards were successful, but Wall played in Game 1. Now you have a situation where they need Conley for this Grizzlies team to try and save face and don't go back home down 0-2. I want to talk about the floor generals and it's the full aspect of it moving forward. Chandler, I'll come to you first. The notable three guys that I went after, Curry is the only one that is safe right now. I'm knocking on wood for you, Steph. I don't want to see nothing bad happen to you. But all the other three teams have hurt guards. I could throw the Rockets in there too. I mean, Patrick Beverley is out as well for their team, but I don't think he's as critical as the big-name point guard that I just mentioned.
Well, you can see how important Mike Conley is to that team. The Grizzlies are going to get swept without Mike Conley. They're going to get swept without Mike Conley. He is that important to that team. With what we found with the Clippers is that they have become a full team because they won that game. Listen, they should listen. The Rockets should have smoke checked them last night. Okay, it was set up. You had time off. You had a team coming off of Game 7. They're injured, and you got beat by them. So Chris Paul is huge going forward in that series, but that shows how good a team the Clippers have become. And I'm going to say the same thing with the Wizards. If the Wizards win tonight, then what you have to do is applaud the rest of the guys on that team for stepping up, but understand that they can't be without these guys the rest of the series. Chris Paul is going to have to play at least 75% of his ability for the Clippers to beat the Rockets. I truly believe that, and I think he will. And I think Doc Rivers right now is playing with house money. Playing with house money right now. Imagine if he doesn't play Chris Paul in this game and they win that one too. You're playing with house money. Same thing with the Wizards. They're playing with house money. You can sit John Wall out because you've already taken home court advantage away from the Hawks. You know you can win on the road, and you know you can win at home. But I think Mike Conley is the biggest loss out of any of them. I think the other teams, without their point guard, can still manage to win. The Grizzlies have no shot without Mike Conley.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a little mishap. I'm sorry. Nacho, I was talking and had the thing muted. I had a little coughing attack. Forgive me. Nacho, I want to hear about your thoughts on the point guard that I mentioned. You got Chris Paul. You got John Wall. You also got Conley out. And if you want to throw Patrick Beverly in the situation, you can. Notably, a lot of these teams going out there without their floor general, two of the three have gotten it done. If you throw Beverly in there, it's 2 out of 4. But still, yeah, I at least want to look at the notables that these teams have been able to step up without their floor generals at the end all.
You know, and even if you want to, I guess you can even throw in Derrick Rose even with a shoulder injury. He says it's not a problem. But with Derrick, any injury is an injury that you have to worry about. So I definitely am worried about him as well. Because you never know, that injury can turn into a dislocated arm in a matter of 2 seconds with Derrick Rose, and that's an over-exaggeration, but, you know, just the way he plays and just the way anything happens, he could turn that into something way worse than it is by, you know, corkscrewing for a reverse or what have you in the ending of any game. So I would even throw Derrick Rose in there too as well, in my opinion-wise, just because, and I hate to use the word fragile, but how fragile he's been or appeared to have been over the last few years. But as it pertains to the other guys you were talking about, I do have to agree with Chandler again, and I'm doing a lot of agreeing tonight with Chandler, and I hate it. But Mike Conley is the one that really means the most to the other teams than the other teams. I think John Wall, they can win without him tonight. I don't predict they will, but they can. They have the ability, especially if Sessions can come up and give them 17 points and some good assists, then they definitely have a great shot to beat. To beat the Hawks and go up 2-0. And as it pertains to the Clippers, we've already seen how well they played. And like you said, Chris Paul was missing for most of that game six, and he played very well in that game seven, but, you know, he was still injured. So I think they could still play and win without him. If they get very minimal from Chris Paul, if any, I think they can still win a game or two. Like you said, they're playing with house money. They're up right now. When they covered those L.A. Lakers titles, they got selfies of the Clippers up. There's no titles. There's no nothing over there. So being 1-0, being up 1-0, you know, and then you have to come home after the next game. Like you said, you're in the greatest position if you're Doc Rivers. You can kind of just do what you want, hang back, and go with what works. And they're having a hard time stopping Blake Griffin as well. So I think if Blake Griffin can take over for the Clippers, then they might not miss Chris Paul just as much. And then, like I said, I think even though Derrick Rose, like I said, you can throw him in the mix, in my opinion. I still think without Derrick Rose, the series goes 7. You might lean a little towards Cleveland more that way, but I still think the Bulls, like you said, they're so mentally tough, and they're a Tibbs team. Their defense is mentally tough, and that's what you need to win games. And when you're going up against a mentally weak guy in LeBron, and a team that's just, you know, doesn't know what they're doing at all at some points and parts of the game, I think, you know, the Bulls can be okay if they lose Derrick Rose for a game or two due to that shoulder injury being a lot worse.
And out of these guards that are missing, who do you think have a more solid chance to rest these guards to win the game too? Is it a situation where Washington is more safe, the Clippers being more safe, or do you think the Grizzlies can stun them and win a game in the Oracle? I'll come back to you, Nacho.
Being able to sit, I think the Wizards are the ones that are going to be, in my eyes, the better off by sitting one of those three guards, well, be it Conley, Paul, or Wall. Sitting one of those three in game two, the best chance of winning would definitely be the Wizards. I still think Houston's a better team. I still think Houston can get the job done at home in game two. And then, like we've said, without Mike Conley, the Grizzlies are dead in the water.
Okay, Chandler, how about you? Out of the three teams right now, with guards that are injured, who do you think has a better shot to win without their floor general? Clippers, Grizzlies, or the Wizards?
I'm going to go Clippers, Wizards, Grizzlies, no shot. The Grizzlies are done without Mike Conley. We may as well just start talking about what a great season they had, and it's too bad Mike Conley got hurt. That's the conversation going forward, because the Grizzlies are done. They're done. All right, they're done. And if anybody couldn't tell that, all right, if you look at what they did with their big men against Golden State, and they still got smoke checked. They dominated inside. They dominated them, and they still got smoke checked because without Mike Conley, that team just don't run. So Grizzlies, no shot. I go Clippers and then Wizards.
Hey, Mike, this is what you do, Mike. You go out there and get the Russell Westbrook face mask. That's right. Go get it. Because Russ went crazy with his. I don't know what's holding you back from putting yours on. I don't know. But
he's
I don't know.
Got
if it's,
one.
Yeah, well, he needs to get out there. His team needs him. I mean, Russell literally had his face kicked in, missed the game. He was back that following game and went and put up four straight triple doubles. So if Russ can do it, you can do it now. I ain't gonna say it like that. I still love you, Meat, but hopefully you can get out there and help him because I don't want to see easy street for the Warriors to get to a Western Conference final. I mean, they already just swept the Pelicans, and it looks like it could be a situation where they could end up sweeping the doggone Grizzlies. I don't want to see that happen because the Grizzlies actually did work up against the Trailblazers. That would be a tough thing to see. Okay, so we got your back, Pat, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so no technical difficulties, we're good?
Oh, no, I had to answer a phone call.
Okay, no problem. Do you want to answer anything about these point guards, or do we get moving?
I wouldn't even, if I was Rivers, man, I'm not playing Chris Paul until Houston wins the game. That team, you talk about sleep at the wheel. My God, the Grizzlies were going to struggle with Conley. Or who? Wait. Conley plays for the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were going to struggle with him. I would have gave them a game with Conley healthy. The Warriors just got too much firepower, man. They're young. They're versatile. You know, and the Grizzlies play a much slower tempo, and the Warriors can play that too. But they just, you know, and Atlanta, it's like, oh, that team, I don't know. Here I am in Atlanta and hadn't seen them all year. Then when I do watch them, they just looked horrible. They didn't look as bad as Houston did, but they didn't look, you know, I think Washington is in a good position because they are playing the Hawks. So I think they suffer minimally with their guard gone. And like Chandler and Nacho said, with Conley gone, it's like the Grizzlies are dead in the water, basically. Because they were going to struggle even with Conley 100%. Now, with Chris Paul being out, I wouldn't play him until Houston wins a game. I'm watching that game the other day, and man, the Clippers were shooting the ball you didn't even see a rocket in the TV frame when they were shooting. So I don't know what was going on with that team. They just, I don't know if they mailed it in or they just took them lightly. And I really think the Clippers getting past the Spurs in the fashion that they did it mentally went a very long way for that team. Okay, they know that they can play with anybody. It's one thing to think you can. It's another thing to know you can. And if Houston doesn't hurry up and put forth some sense of urgency and get it together, because they're going to have to do a complete 180 from what they did last night. I think all the stuff that Kevin McHale said was an understatement. You know, they kicked our butts and all this. Man, your team wasn't even ready to play.
And to add to that, the way that Kevin McHale was coaching, it really looked like he was coaching to basically just put talent in the game instead of basically barking out the right information to get these guys ready to knock off the Clippers. They had to take advantage of that game one situation. They clearly looked out-coached and overmatched, to say the least.
But from a coaching standpoint, Tyrone, when you're at this level, and for instance, if I'm looking at it the way I do, and at Kevin McHale, when your team does something like that, you can yell all day long. You know when your team is putting forth an effort as opposed to just playing bad. It's one thing to play bad. It's a whole other thing where the other team is just flying up and down the court with you, and every time they kick the ball out, somebody is shooting a what? I mean, come on, man. The four of us could have spotted up last night. Now, whether we would have made it or not, that's a whole other story. But hell, our shots would have been, they wouldn't have even been contested. That's how bad that was. And I know, come on, man. Kevin McHale was battle tested. He's on a championship team. It's not like he don't know the deal. I mean,
right.
what you gonna yell at him? Come on, you guys look horrible. Where's your energy? That's about as far as you can go. I mean, what else you gonna do? It's like, hey, dudes, hello. If nobody told guys, the second round has started. Can we do something? I mean, it's only so much a coach can do, especially at that level. And Barkin, this ain't college. Barkin ain't going to get it. It's just not going to get it. So hopefully it's a wake-up call for Houston, because I expected it to be a very competitive series, but I didn't expect Houston to come out looking that bad. Just completely not even ready to play. And you're at home. Come on. Horrible. That was horrible.
Okay, I kind of want to, and this isn't really football, but it's kind of, I don't even really think it's kind of related, but it's interesting, and I want to see how you guys feel about this. Lawrence Taylor's son, this is crazy, people. Now, mind you, we're about a few years away from what Lawrence Taylor just came up to here. Well, I'm the only one up here. I might as well say up to the New York area, because Lawrence Taylor actually resides in the Florida area. He came up here and got caught in a sting, if you will, basically messing with underage women. And here it goes, like father, like son. His son gets caught up in the same exact thing and is facing 30 years in prison. I've heard of some crazy stories, but it's crazy that both of them are up to the same antics. Now, I don't know if you would learn from them, and I can't lie, I love Lawrence Taylor. I have relatives in my family that are related to the guy, so it is actually deep in this situation. But your thoughts on not only Lawrence Taylor and the apple not falling far from the tree, but how do they, write this situation? Is this an epic fall? I mean, you can't take away from what him bringing to a football field of being one of the greatest players to ever play in the NFL. But outside the lines is the head-scratching situation, especially with his son following in the same footsteps as himself. I don't know if I should save Chandler for last or have him start this one up. You know what, Chandler, I'll let you start this one up. Your thoughts on I might as well say, the Taylor family, you know, in the same line of fire, if you will.
This story doesn't surprise me, unfortunately. And by that, I mean, you know, what we fail to realize, what people kind of conveniently neglect in our society right now, is the reason that young men treat women or men or young men treat women the way they do is because of what they're taught. That young man grew up watching his father treat women like objects. Like it was okay to go out there and screw around and sleep with this or sleep with that and disrespect his mother and do all of those things. So why would he have any respect for women? He was never taught to have any. That's the saddest part of this. He was never taught to have any. You know, Ty, you know, Pat, you have a son. Ty, you know, you talk about your father all the time, the influence he had on your life. How you conduct yourself is a direct result of how you were taught. How you honor and value women is a direct result of what you saw growing up. What did Lawrence Taylor Jr. see growing up? He saw his father treating women like objects and trash. And every time his father got caught doing something, people just laughed it off. Well, he's Lawrence Taylor. Ain't no big deal. It's just some hoe. It's just some gold digger. The women were denigrated. Not his father. Nobody ever said, yo, your father's a bad guy. So why would he be any different? Why would he think to be any different? That's the saddest part of this whole thing, is that particular cycle still going on.
And it's a vicious one, too. They said that they caught him with a 13-year-old girl. This is the crazy part about it. And his father got caught up in there with 15 and 16. But still, yeah, man, get it together, man. Your name speaks for itself. But Nacho, I want to know how you may feel about this, knowing Lawrence Taylor, Hall of Famer himself, his name speaks for itself. Everything that he's brought to the game of football outside of the football field is basically where everything falls apart on him. And his son following in the same footsteps is facing over a quarter century worth of time in prison.
You know, I almost was going to say no comment because I really didn't read the story because I wasn't too interested in it, but I just hope he gets help. It's a disease. It's really sad. He's not alone, and they're we know them, and they need help. So, and by them, I mean those men that just that like Chandler said specifically, they don't see women as people or as anything other than objects. And it's very, very sad. Those men need help, and I hope he gets the help he needs. It is, you know, I don't want to say it's genetics, but it is what you pass down, regardless of, you know, what's going on. It's how you act and how you treat and what you see is what most likely you will turn into. So it was sad. He was kind of effed from the get-go. It's just sad all around. And then after you get passed, I would like to share a story, something real fast about something that's not as dark as this and another athlete's son.
Okay, Pat, your thoughts on the situation with LT's son in some big time trouble dealing with underage children.
Yeah, I read that story this morning, Tyrone. What I read was that he was sentenced to 10 years. So I mean, unless something else
the story that I'm reading, he's facing up to 30 years in prison.
Okay. I was on NFL, profootballtalk.com, and they had said that he was already sentenced. So I don't know, but two 13-year-old girls, yeah, like Chandler says, the apple really doesn't fall far from the tree. And, you know, he was born into a family where his father had a sense of entitlement. So when you're a major star like that and you get into trouble, you know, they always find ways to get you the least amount of punishment or basically none at all, which usually becomes detrimental because then you get the idea in your head that you can do anything you want anyway. Now, in his case, I don't know if he was even an athlete or anything. I don't know if he was anything other than Lawrence Taylor Jr. So this is definitely a case where it looks like it's learned behavior. And, you know, he's unlike his father, you know, he's going to go to jail for significant jail time. So, I mean, it is what it is. He's going to do the time. Now, we know how molesters are frowned upon in the penal system. So that's something that he's going to have to deal with as well. It's unfortunate because, you know, the guy's only 33 years old, but, you know, this is the position that he put himself in. So that's the price he has to pay.
Okay, Nacho, I heard you want to throw a topic here on the grill. Please have at it.
Hey, it wasn't more of a topic, and I really wanted to just throw this out there. There's an athlete that I've watched his SEC storied, Herschel Walker, and the great athlete he is, and how much of a man's man he was, and running over people, and even into his 50s doing MMA and winning MMA fights up into his 50-year-old age. His son recently decided to be a cheerleader. And with today's NFL and today's sports, how very, very bad or negative it is for any man to be effeminate in any way, for him to back his son completely and to support him and love him through anything he decides to do openly, it's just something I was excited to see and read about, especially, like I said, you got Herschel Walker, who was fighting MMA and winning at age 50, I think it was 50, 51, stepping into that octagon and just to back his son. And I know that's the fatherly thing to do, but you know, he even openly said he wasn't as open to it, but going to it and seeing how athletic and as happy as it made his son, it doesn't matter what you do, you just do it right. And that's just, you know, a father to passing down to his son how to just do things right in life. And that's just one of the examples that in this dark, dark age of we got these kids growing up with bad decision-making skills, at least some parents and some athletes are teaching their kids the right thing and not holding it against them for being a cheerleader, I guess, and things like that. So I just wanted to give Herschel Walker all the commend, and whether he thought he was a good football player or not, he's a great man in my opinion. So I'm definitely – that's just all I wanted to say about that. And I know we got real dark and negative there with Lawrence Taylor Jr., so.
Okay. To throw this one around the kitchen, Taylor, your thoughts on the situation that Nacho throws out there?
He's absolutely right, man. And thank you, Nacho, for even mentioning that because I hadn't heard that. And you know what? There's not enough fathers like that, be it athletes or not. There's not enough fathers doing that, saying, listen, you're teaching your kid that no matter what you want to do, as long as you're doing the right thing, I'm going to support you, and it doesn't matter what other people think. You do what makes you happy as long as you're not hurting anyone. And that's really the lesson that we're supposed to be teaching all these kids, right, is go out, do what makes you happy, and the people who brought you here are supposed to support you. And the fact that he's doing that is great, man, because we got a laundry list of athletes who were terrible parents. So, you know what, yeah, Herschel Walker, great job, great job.
Pat, your thoughts on this? And knowing the probably the cheerleading that they're talking about, he's probably one of those cheerleaders that hold the women up, you know what I'm saying, by 1 foot because they weigh like 90 pounds. So, you know.
They had a video. He's very athletic. He's doing the spins and the flips and holding two women up at the same time or two cheerleaders up at the same time and things like that. So he's very athletic in what he's doing, you know. But it's still the fact, you know, he would rather stay on the sidelines with the cheerleaders and cheer on a football team, which he does, than play on one. That's what I was kind of getting at.
Okay, Pat, your thoughts on this? And knowing that you guys came up in the era where Herschel was doing his thing, on a college team while he was with the Georgia Bulldogs and you know, coming up from Dallas all across the league to, you know, Minnesota. I mean, your thoughts on Herschel Walker's son and his sentiments toward his son?
I mean, that's the way it should be. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm one of those people, I always hate to see the sons try to follow the parents' footsteps, usually when the parent is, you know, some just stellar superstar, because it usually never works out for them. I mean, granted, they were brought up in a particular sport, and it's almost natural for them to segue into it because of their parent. You know, they kind of have an inside track. Their dad knows people, and they can get on the best teams. They can get the best coaching. But very rarely can they live up to whatever it was that their dad did. So, and who knows what this kid might end up doing. You know, he's in college, right? So he's living the college life. I mean, and it's not like he's the first guy to do. Every Division I school has these people. Every Division I school has male cheerleaders. Every single one. He just happens to be Herschel Walker's son. No big deal. You know, we might be hearing his name involved in some other sport. I don't know the kid's story. I don't know if he even plays. You know, he might be a baseball player or who knows? I mean, who knows? So, I mean, I can't see myself getting upset with my son for him making a choice that, number one, doesn't hurt him, and number two, doesn't hurt anyone else. People have to live their own lives. They have to do what makes them happy. And that's a big enough struggle as it is in this world, finding something that gives you joy. So I'm glad that he's doing what he's doing. I would do the same thing. I wouldn't stand in the way. And that's actually how it should be. You know, America is very socially retarded as a whole. So we get caught up in way too much stuff that's not important. And then the stuff that is important, we just kind of just blow off in a lot of instances. Like, oh, well, that's not that big a deal. He's young. He's just a baby. You know, it's just kind of strange from a social standpoint the way that America does things. So, you know, more power to the brother. You know, be the best cheerleader that you can, and you know, hopefully he's a good student, gets his degree, and gets out there. And who knows, we might be buying some of his products one day. You never know. That's all I got.
Nacho, I'm going to ask you this question before we get away from it. Do you think it's a situation where he doesn't want to be in the shadow of his father's past or live up to try and put his feet in his father's shoes similar to what his father was able to do in Georgia?
You know, I don't know if that has a root to it. I mean, at some point you do have to look at other sons of great athletes, whether it be on the collegiate or the NFL level, and see the struggles that they went to. You have to, you know, realize if you want to go through that yourself as a son. So that may have played a major role. I think more or less he's a great athlete like his father, like Pat said. They both are just physical specimens in and of themselves. Like I said, Herschel was MMA fighting 2-0 wins. I looked it up into his 50s, 52 and 53. So they're both just physical specimens in and of themselves. So he might have been able to do whatever he wanted. This just may have been something that he fell in love with. You know, we never know what drives someone to do what they want to do. But I do think maybe in the back of his mind, the struggles that other sons went through, albeit the Manning family, the struggles that sons went through following in their father's footsteps in the NFL or whether it be basketball or baseball, that definitely had to weigh on him, and maybe not in the forefront of his mind, but definitely in the back.
Well, shoot, if Steph Curry could do it and win an MVP and doing it following behind Dell, anybody could do it.
That's rare. That's rare. That's rare.
I'm sorry. I had to say something. I was trying.
I mean, and I did think of Steph Curry, but that's more of the exception than it is the rule, where the son comes along and actually is kind of thrust in a higher light. Just like, let's use Michael Jordan, for example. Has anybody heard of his son ever since he was playing high school basketball? That's the last time I heard of that kid.
I think one of them went to Illinois.
Yeah.
Didn't
he get caught into this whole tug of war over tennis shoe endorsements or something?
Yep.
Or something like that? I have not heard anything from that kid since then, from the basketball standpoint, you know? So that's, Steph Curry is the exception to the rule. Peyton Manning, Eli, exceptions to the rule.
And Dell wasn't a superstar.
Right.
I mean, Dell was a good player, but let's not act like Dell was a superstar. So
right.
the Curry son who actually had it worse than Steph was Seth.
Yeah.
Because Seth was supposed to be the guy. If you remember, they always said that Seth was better than Steph. Always.
Right.
Seth Curry was supposed to be the next one in the Curry family to be a star in the NBA. He was the one that struggled, and he was the one that had the problems dealing with that. And all Steph did was kind of stick to the shadows, and he was able to grow and blossom. That's why he went to a small school and everything else. But if you remember, Seth Curry was the one that they were talking about. They never talked about Steph. They were always talking about Seth Curry. You know what I'm saying? So, like you say, yeah, it's difficult for kids, but it's the superstars whose kids usually struggle. Usually the ones who, the second generation or the second coming of the name, if the father was a good player but not great, usually the son is better. If the father was a superstar, the son usually barely gets a cup of coffee. You know, look at Barry Sanders Jr. You could look at Dorsett's son. I mean, they barely got cups of coffee. You know what I'm saying? The only reason they got the cups of coffee was because of the name. So, you know, like I said, the fact that, like Nacho said, that Herschel was just saying to his son, listen, I don't care what you do, play for whatever you do, just do you and be happy. That's the greatest part of the whole thing, you know. And maybe the son said, you know, and maybe the son is able to do that because he doesn't feel the pressure to have to follow his father's footsteps, that he knows that he can do whatever he wants to do. So he is. You know, that's the greatest part of the whole thing. Like Pat said, this is the way it's supposed to be, man. You know, you have a kid, you're supposed to support your kid. You know, the fact that we have to talk about it is actually, you know, like Pat, it's showing exactly just how screwed up we are. The fact that we have to take time to commend him for this, when this should be something that happens all the time.
Yeah.
True. That's something not to put on the grill. That's all we had to talk about. Anything else that you guys would like? Because we are close to the tail end of the show. I mean, if you got a topic that you want to throw in there, I did have NHL, but I know that'd be more or less me and you, Chandler. Seeing that we got to fight our way back into this series, it'll be great if they can hang on. Any other sport topic that you guys would like to throw out there?
I have one. And you're about to see a deluge of anti-Isaiah Thomas tweets, all kind of stuff.
Oh.
All right? Coming from the same people and the same networks and the same journalists and the same people on Twitter who had no problem with Floyd Mayweather. Let me be clear on this. Isaiah Thomas and Madison Square Garden were sued. Isaiah Thomas was never found personally liable for anything, but because he was in charge, he took the brunt of it. Madison Square Garden was sued. At the time, he was the president of MSG. Okay? Be that as it may, there was a settlement that was done. Okay? Same thing as the former general manager of the New York Mets when he was accused of sexual harassment. His secretaries, while he was general manager of the Mets, yet ESPN gave him a job lickety-split. And then they had to fire him because he was sexually harassing women there. Isaiah Thomas had never before and has not since had anybody say anything about him sexually harassing anybody. But now I'm starting to see all this stuff. Oh, he's in charge of New York Liberty. How could they do that? They need to change the name to the New York Misogynist and all of this stuff.
Wow.
My question is this. Where were all of you people with this same amount of venom towards Floyd Mayweather? If this wasn't Isaiah Thomas, if this was Steve Phillips, would anybody have a problem with it? I don't think so. They have a problem because it's Isaiah Thomas. But, and they choose to use this. Oh, it's terrible. And he said, oh, the New York Liberty players should boycott because Isaiah Thomas is the president. I'm seeing this on Twitter from women, the same women who were touting Mayweather to win the fight. How hypocritical of you people. And if your name is not Michelle Beadle or Rachel Nichols, you need to shut up if you're a journalist because none of you had a problem with Floyd Mayweather, who's been convicted of violence against women. And although sexually harassing a woman is tantamount to violence, it's using power to intimidate and harm somebody, maybe not physically but emotionally. And it is a form of violence. But Floyd Mayweather has beat up women.
And
everybody's got a problem with Floyd Mayweather. But all we're going to hear for the next 2 weeks is how terrible Isaiah Thomas is and how this is an example of how terrible the Knicks are and how could they let this happen? Where were all of you people? Why did none of you have anything to say about Floyd Mayweather?
That's interesting in itself, man. I mean, just like you said, in the portions of it of people being hypocritical and wanting to see the better of one individual over the other, I just don't know. I just don't know. Pat, I heard you saying something in the background toward this. Is there anything that you'd like to add toward it?
That's social retardation I was alluding to. That's a very good point. Because I heard the story, and it was like as soon as the story broke, it was a freaking firestorm. I mean, I always wondered myself personally how Isaiah always seems to come up smelling roses. Anything. Not that that has anything to do with, you know, his sexual harassment allegations. And then him being hired by the same boss that he had when he was in charge of the Knicks. I mean, it's his team, it's the guy's team. He obviously likes Isaiah. He obviously trusts the guy. They obviously have a very good relationship, obviously. Because now he's in charge. Yet again. So, I mean, damn, it's not Isaiah's fault that this owner, whoever, I can't remember the guy's name, likes and respects him. Now, I wasn't a big Isaiah fan when he played basketball. To me, he used to do a lot of punk stuff, hitting dudes when they weren't looking, and then he starts scrambling, looking for somewhere to go. I never did like that. But anyway, I digress. Chandler he's right about, you know, Mayweather was convicted and did jail time. I mean, come on. And then when they did try to bring it up, which I thought was kind of strange, why you wait till the fight to bring it up of all times. You know, you wait till 48 hours before the fight. Now you want to talk about, you know, domestic violence issues. It's like, come on, what does that have to do with anything at this stage? I mean, and there was no talk of that leading up to the fight. So, yeah, it's just another example of I'm using America because that's where I live. So I'm not exonerating any other country. I can only speak on what I know. That's just another example of our social retardation. Some people will get a pass. Some people won't get a pass. Some people will be slightly admonished. Others, for the same thing, will be completely vilified. You know, oh, they ought to hang him from a tree. He needs to be in front of a firing squad. You know, whatever the case may be. So, you know, it's like, let the man do whatever it is he's going to do. And, you know, hopefully he don't get caught up in no nonsense like that again. Hopefully.
Okay, Nacho, is there anything that you'd like to throw toward it before we get moving from the cookout?
You know, just to answer Chandler's question, I can tell you the simple answer is because every time I needed to find something on the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, I went to my ESPN Watch ESPN app. That's what I went to. I didn't go to any other app. I gave them the most business probably over the last month and a half just by going to their app. And I'm by sure every fan of the boxing sport, every fan that was looking up to this was giving them more access. I'm pretty sure they sold a whole bunch of more memberships from the start of the announcement when they had, you know, they're going to have press conference after press conference. They're going to have a live workout one day with Mayweather, the next day with Pacquiao. The next time they're going to have the weigh-ins, there's just so much that ESPN made off of this. Why would you want to bring to light something so negative when there's money involved? That's the simple answer. That's why Michelle Beadle was silenced so much on Sports Nation. That's why they didn't really hit her with those questions that much when it came to Floyd. They didn't really bring it up because they knew where she was going to go. ESPN knows how to make money, and that's what ESPN does well. They like to say they're you know, leading broadcaster in sports, or the leading broadcaster in making money. That's what they're great at. So that's why no one brought up anything about Floyd Mayweather and his transgressions outside the ring. I was one to not bring it up because when we're talking about Manny Pacquiao, that's a man. He's going to fight him inside that squared circle. I think it's irrelevant to talk about what Floyd Mayweather's done outside that ring. But, like, again, once he steps outside that ring, he's no longer a boxer. He's you know, treated the same like anyone else, and he's, you know, undeserving of my respect and anything else. I don't respect him in the ring, but I do acknowledge that he's a great boxer inside of that square circle. Some of us are just some people are just blessed with talents, and some of us have bigger skeletons than others, and he's just blessed with or cursed with a huge skeleton that we all know about, and he's blessed with the skill in the ring. So it's bad for him on one end, and then it's a moneymaker on the other. So the big zero, the moneymaking, that's why you're not going to hear anything about Floyd and his transgressions outside the ring as it pertains to domestic violence. And that's why you are going to hear them bash Isaiah Thomas and talk bad about him, because he's not going to generate any money. People aren't tuning in to see Isaiah Thomas regardless of what show he's on. Nobody looks for ESPN on First Take or any of, I'm sorry, I'm blasting their names, but any of those programs. And just, you know, looks for Isaiah Thomas, but they were looking for Mayweather. They were looking for Mayweather and anything that having to do with him over the past few months. And they will be, especially now, with Pacquiao and his arm. So why would you bring up anything bad about Mayweather when you can also talk bad about Pacquiao now and his hurt arm that he had and the ailments that he's going to be going through? So that's the easy and long answer. I was trying to go short, but that's the easy long answer to why there was no discussion or no brought up about this. And I do have to commend Rachel Nichols and Michelle Beadle up until the point. I mean, there's no reason for you, like Pat said, 48 hours prior to a match that's already going on, for you to bring it up. 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months before, yeah, you can bring it up all you want. You can talk about it on your shows. But, you know, 2 days before the fight, there's no reason or rhyme at that point when we're talking about in-ring. So that's what I have to say about that when it pertains to the Floyd Mayweather situation and whether or not people were going to badmouth him in the media or not. I just think, yeah, like you said, ESPN just made too much money off it, and there's no point to badmouth someone when they're the cash cow.
I understand all that, but my problem with it is these same people I just can't stand the hypocrisy. I truly just cannot stand the hypocrisy. This is kind of why sports has I've lost a lot of sports is turning a lot of people off these days because it's so obvious that these networks are deciding, they're trying to tell us who we're supposed to like. And not for nothing, I'll put Isaiah Thomas's draft record, the players he's drafted between Vancouver and the Knicks, up against any general managers you want to name. Isaiah Thomas, let's say he's drafted 30 players over the years that he's drafted. In the NBA, you don't even get two rounds. Out of those 30 players, I guarantee you 25 of them played at least 7 years in the league. Guys like Trevor Ariza, who everybody said, why did he draft Trevor Ariza? Everybody said, well, Trevor Ariza's a difference maker. David Lee, Nate Robinson, the list goes on and on. Damon Stoudemire, Tracy McGrady, the list goes on and on and on. You can't keep denigrating this man to where he don't know what he's doing.
when if you look at what he's done as a general manager and in the drafts, and you can look it up. Look up the players he's drafted. The players he drafts on average play at least 7 years in the league. How many general managers can say that?
Not a lot of them are. If they do, they departed elsewhere. Okay. I mean, Chill, is there anything else that you'd like to touch on? Because we are at the tail end of the show.
Nah, that's it.
Okay. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Thank you for coming to the cookout. Pat, I'll start with you first. Epic's time in the kitchen, man. I need a plug, promo, anything that you like before we shut down the doors here in the kitchen at the cookout.
As always, and I'll check you guys out on the next shift.
Definitely hope to get more from you next time you're in the kitchen, and we should be back here Thursday. Well, at least me and Mr. Nostradamus himself. Nacho, I need a plug and close out anything that you'd like to promote before we get out of the cookout.
I know it's off season, so we don't touch too much on football or stay too much on every team's topics and what have you. But I would just like to close out with this statement. Ted Thompson, what the hell are you doing? You have two glaring holes at defensive tackle and middle linebacker, albeit B.J. Rodgers coming off and injury may help us out. But you let Malcolm Brown and Eric Kendricks both pass you up, and those would have been tremendous assets to the team, either one of those men. So you really messed up drafting another corner, another wide receiver, a backup quarterback, and an outside linebacker in the fifth round is not going to help us out this year on defense. So be prepared for us to have to score 40 to 45 points or score as quick as possible because our offense may be not on the field as much as possible, as much as it can, just because everyone's going to run the ball on us. Dallas laid the blueprint out last year in the divisional round. We were able to get away off of a catch-uncatch type of play, regardless of it. You know, the outcome might have been different or what have you. A loss or a win, you know, still so much time left for us to go score 3 points. I understand the reasoning that Aaron Rodgers couldn't do that, but you never know. Football's football, a tip ball, anything could happen. You know, run the ball and you beat us. And we didn't address anything this year. So, Ted Thompson, I really hope you know what you're doing. I really hope you must have more faith in the linebackers. I don't even know their name. The defensive lineman that I could care less about other than B. Raji. It doesn't make any sense to me. We're going to have to use Clay Matthews, that middle linebacker, again for multiple games where he is not very efficient. I know he's okay and good in coverage, and he can lead a defense from that position, but he's definitely not where he's utilized. We need him getting to the quarterback opposite side of Julius Peppers this year and doing what he needs to do. So I'm definitely not ecstatic about this draft. I'll say it, and I'll say it again. All the players we drafted are tremendous players. They're going to be great players in the NFL, I believe, and I believe they're tremendous picks for any other team other than us. We needed defensive lineman help and middle linebacker help, in my opinion. Inside linebacker help, sorry, in my opinion, and we didn't get any of that at all. So watching multiple guys walk out, I really hope we have an answer for anyone that wants to run. If not, I'm really sad for Aaron Rodgers because he's going to watch his team lose a lot of games while he's on the sideline. Other than that, at Nacho in the Box, it's been fun. Thank you guys so much. I love it. It's awesome learning more on basketball, learning more on anything else. It's going to be a great NFL season regardless of, you know, if we can stop the run or not. I still believe in our offense, but it's going to be great NFL season all around, including all 32 teams, not just mine. I'm so excited for it to come around, and I'm excited for these OTAs, these preseason games and whatnot, what things are going on. The Green Bay Packers play on the West Coast a few times this year. I anticipate to go to all of them, so it'll be a very exciting year for me, and it'll be awesome. Thank you guys so much, Chandler, Pat, and Ty. You guys have been awesome, and thank you for letting me rant about my team.
And just so you know, we do have a football show that takes place on Tuesday. If you miss it, you can easily download it iTunes or on blogtalkradio.com/SportsCityChef. You can get your football dish every week here in the kitchen from Sports City. Last but not least, Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus, shut this thing down, plug, promote, anything you like to here at the Cookout.
As always, a lot of fun. Pat, thanks for coming. Nacho, thanks for coming. That's always a lot of fun. Wednesday, is it Wednesday the afternoon show, Ty? No.
No, the afternoon show is today, Tuesday, with the front office with Brian and Rodri.
Okay, all right. Well, Wednesday, we all get to take a breather, get to watch some games. We have something to talk about on Thursday. Thursday, we got the MasterChefs, and Yankees are winning. The Rangers are going to win, and everybody have a good night.
Hey, that's all I need to hear, some hopeful talk for the blue shirts, man, just to build my spirits up. I know we got to come out of fight game four. If not, we're in trouble. This could be the year of Ovechkin, and I don't even feel good at saying
Capital
that, but I think
pick.
He can. Oh.
I already told you.
He wanted to sneak that one in there. Nacho, you told us about the Raiders. What about that? You told us about Manny Pacquiao. What about that?
I'm going to mute my phone. Wait. And let you finish. I'm sorry.
He told us about Manny Pacquiao. What about Sports City? Look, every time I try to close out or promo and do stuff like that, it's always somebody that want to cut me off. Like I don't do that to them. I'll actually give them the floor so they can y'all can hear them all across the globe, not just the city, but the world, Craig. If you see Friday After Next, you will know what line I'm talking about. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I'll be back here Thursday doing the Master Chef Show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, especially while these games are basically getting halfway through the series. We'll see where a lot of these teams are landing and if the Bulls can take control of this series and go up to them. I'm jumping ahead of myself, Sports City. I'm jumping ahead of myself. You know I want to see some round ball get done. That's why I'm trying to take care of business before we get out of here. But on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
Hey, cool, what's up?
Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. Put these bright lights, turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I wouldn't win insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me. This is true. All I got is this money. This is true.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.